More than 20,000 political prisoners in North Korea may have been allowed to die of starvation, according to a new report. The Committee for Human Rights in North Korea believes thousands of prisoners are unaccounted for after the vast Camp 22 closed last year. The prison camp near the Chinese border was bigger than London and once held 30,000 prisoners. Well, Greg Scarlatti is Executive Director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. Greg, to the best of your understanding, what has happened to the inmates of Camp 22?
What we found out from former prisoners, former guards, what we also found out from by means of analyzing satellite imagery recently taken, is that the remaining number of prisoners at Camp 22 was between 3,000 and 8,000. And 3,000 to 8,000 prisoners were transferred to other facilities beginning in the summer of last year until early this year. Now, what this means is that anywhere between 22,000 and 27,000 prisoners simply vanished into thin air. Based on our interviews with former prisoners, former guards, and also with former North Koreans with contacts inside North Korea, with media organizations that can actually contact sources, stringers inside North Korea on their smuggled Chinese cell phones. This means practically having boots and eyes on the ground. What happened was that those 22 to 27,000 prisoners died of starvation due to extreme food shortages inside the camp. Now, what we also have to keep in mind is that the population of Camp 22 used to be even larger. There used to be 50,000 prisoners there at some point. That number went down to 30,000. What we know is that the death rates inside all of North Korea's known functioning six political prison camps has always been astoundingly high. This is due to induced malnutrition, to forced labor, torture, executions. What we haven't been able to verify always has been whether the new prisoner arrivals, the rate of new arrivals at these camps matched the appalling death rate. What we also know about Camp 22, and this goes back to testimony by a North Korean lady, a defector before the U.S. Congress in 1999, human experimentation happened at Camp 22. Suffocation gas was used inside gas chambers to execute prisoners, and chemical agents were experimented on prisoners at Camp 22. These accounts came from former guards, such as Mr. An Myung-chul, a North Korean who used to be a guard at Camp 22. These accounts came from former prisoners. These accounts came from a former high-ranking official who at some point was a military attaché in Beijing prior to defecting to the free world. This former North Korean once used to be in charge of Camp 22.
You simply don't know for sure, though, do you, what happened to those 20,000?
Now, certainly, we have to remember that North Korea is the world's most closed society. Certainly, nobody can go in there right now to do a body count or dig up graves. The sources that we have, and I have to say that we know much more about what's going on inside North Korea than we knew before. We have several sources of information. We have satellite imagery and the ability to analyze that satellite imagery. We have, once again, former North Koreans with knowledge of the camps, some of them former officials, some of them former guards, some of them former prisoners. And we also have now North Koreans inside North Korea, North Koreans living in and around the Haeryong area in North Hamgyong province near the border with China, where this detention facility used to be located. And they're the ones who have confirmed reports that the facility has ceased to function as a political prison camp and that the number of prisoners transferred from the camp over a period of only a few months was only 3,000 to 8,000. What we knew around 2007 was that back then, just about 6 years ago, the number of prisoners was 30,000.
I take it that you've put your allegations to Pyongyang. What's been the official response to that?
We have had absolutely no response whatsoever. North Korea continues to run a political prison camp system established in the mid to late 1950s to punish, isolate, and exterminate those who are perceived as disloyal to the regime, those perceived by the regime as being wrongdoers, wrong thinkers, as having engaged in wrong associations, as being in possession of wrong knowledge. North Korea has continued to adamantly deny.
You talk of this place as a camp, but as I said in my introduction, it was the size of the British capital. To what extent is that a camp? How can you contain people in that respect with such a vast geographical area?
We're talking about barbed wire. We're talking about fences and guard towers. We're talking about contained areas. Yes, they're large areas in some cases. For example, in the case of Camp 22, very large areas. In some cases, the areas are smaller. This is just one type of detention facility. When we talk about six political prison camps in North Korea, and when we talk about up to 200,000 people being detained in these political prison camps, we talk about a facility that translates as a management place, a kwaliso. There are other types of detention facilities in North Korea as well. This particular type of facility is meant for political prisoners. There is a type of facility, for example, called a kyohwa so, or a re-education center, which is supposedly for common criminals. At the same time, political prisoners are known to have been held at this type of facility as well. Kwaliso, a political prison camp, is indeed a sprawling encampment that sometimes can cover vast areas. Our committee has followed developments at other camps as well. And for example, in the case of camp number 25 in Cheongjin, North Hamgyong province, we established beyond reasonable doubt, based on satellite imagery analysis, that the camp increased in size twofold. The area of the camp is now twice larger than it was only a few years ago. This happened over a two-year period. Our colleagues at Amnesty International looked at Camp 14, also using satellite imagery and satellite imagery analysis, and came to the conclusion that Camp 14 has also expanded in size and has spilled into the adjacent village. Now, we all remember Camp 14 as the place where possibly the most famous North Korean in the world now, Mr. Shin Dong-hyuk, was born. This is a young North Korean born in a political prison camp. He spent the first 23 years of his life there. He escaped, miraculously managed to find his way to South Korea, and Blaine Harden, former correspondent for the Washington Post in Seoul for 10 years, wrote a book about his life story entitled Escape from Camp 14 that has become very well known worldwide, has been translated into 25 languages, and has focused a lot of international attention on this particular issue of the political prison camps.
I suppose it's one thing that we need to maybe try and read. Greg, I'm sorry that we've run out of time to discuss this some more. I appreciate you talking to us. Greg Scarlatti, the Executive Director of the Committee for Human Rights in North